right. Well, good morning, church. It's great to be back with you today and see so many faces again. Now, this morning is a bit of a continuation of what we saw beginning last week, our youth takeover. Woo! I'm really talking about this morning leading the next generation. We just have a photo, if you've missed it somehow, or if you're new here today, we've just finished a week of camp with our youth. It started part one in Sydney. We took a team of 13 and joined about 50 other young people with one of our friend churches in Sydney. And then we came back after that, 12 hours on a bus. My goodness, never again. 12 hours on a bus. Second part of our camp, we ran back here at our home base, our launch camp, where we had about 40 young people all join together. And it was a really powerful week. We really saw God move and his presence really here. A lot of our teenagers heard God's voice for the first time, saw visions for the first time, and probably my first time really seeing them just surrender and just give it all over to God, which was just so beautiful. For me as a young person, there's many photos, I don't have them, many photos of me in a group just like this, going to youth camps, grew up in the church. Jack and I actually met at a youth camp when we were 15, just friends at 15. After that, when I turned 16, was when I moved from my hometown in country Victoria, Swan Hill, to a boarding school in Melbourne. And as a result, I was geographically and then emotionally as well, just removed from my Christian community. And as a result, over the next 2 years, I just really struggled to keep up my faith in Christ. And I looked to other endeavors and other experiences, success. I was a swimmer, so I wanted success in my competitive swimming career that I had. I looked for love and companionship in relationships and friendships. And ultimately, I got to a point where I was nearing the end of year 12, a little bit unsure of my direction. You guys remember year 12, you finish and you're like, oh my goodness, the whole world ahead of me. What am I gonna do? I was getting to that point and I wasn't really sure my direction, my career, my purpose, what I was going to do. And really by the grace of God, I was able to come back in and into the church community, get over that hurdle of following Jesus as a young person, kind of losing myself a little bit, my faith a bit, but really just coming back over that hurdle into following Jesus as an adult. This experience of mine is actually not that uncommon for young people. I don't know if you can remember your own faith journey, if you grew up in the church as well. There just comes a point where you have to decide as a young person and then into an adult over that hurdle, am I going to follow Jesus? And not at all to diminish anything that God has done over the last week with our young people and what we believe he's going to continue to do. Our young people are hungry for God now, but as they grow up, they're going to get to that hurdle. And they're going to have to make that decision for themselves if they want to continue being the future church, as Zoe mentioned this morning. So here's some statistics for you. So we're looking at Generation Z. If you're not familiar, I'm kind of the oldest of this generation. I'm turning 25 this year. The youngest is about 11 or 12 years old now. So these are our young people. And then after that, we have Gen Alpha, kind of from 10 or 11 down to this year, where we're actually seeing babies born into the next generation again, Generation Beta. So these are our young people that I'm going to talk a little bit about leading this morning. So if you look at some Gen Z stats, we see that when polled in 2023, we saw 32% of teenagers, this is global statistics, identify as Christian versus only 17% of young adults. So this is the 11, 12-year-old Gen Z teenager and then the 25-year-old young adult. What we see with their spiritual openness, so this is their belief that something exists beyond this world, not specifically Christian, just a belief beyond this world. We see that 46% of Gen Z teenagers are spiritually open versus only 28% of Gen Z adults. You're seeing the pattern, the hurdle? Specific to church, 22% of Gen Z attended weekly in 2020. And when polled again, kind of the same group, this one's a US statistic, when polled again, only 16% of Gen Z adults attended, young adults attended weekly. So if this is the trend, this is the pattern that we're seeing, this is common, then we as a church have to be concerned about the future of the church, right? This is a message this morning, not just to our kids' church out the back, or our youth leaders, or our church pastors, those that are playing a role and being one of those specific mentors, but this is a call to all of us. Because what we set as an example in the church is what our young people are going to follow. They're going to do what they see us doing. They're going to model what we're modeling to them. And the point this morning, the main point, that if you take away anything, let it be this, is that ultimately, the life that you lead this year, how do you want to live your life? The life you lead is the path that our young people will heed. Everything you do, they're going to do. And so this is a call this morning to live in such a way that we, as a collective, can be an example of Christ for the next generation of believers. Amen? So I want to keep it a bit simple this morning. We're going to have a look at scripture, an example from the Bible. We're going to look at the example of Paul and the way that he sets an example for younger Christians as well as new believers, really the next generation of believers coming through. Apostle Paul, if you're not sure, he's a leader in the church. After his conversion in Acts 9, he has a great encounter with God, and then he becomes a great church leader consequently. He goes on many missionary journeys, helps establish the early church. In the New Testament, after the Gospels, and then before the bookend, Hebrews, John's, Revelations, there's a series of letters to individuals and collective churches, and a lot of these letters are written by Paul. And what he's doing in his letters is he's instructing individuals and church communities that he's establishing how to live as Christians, how to be an example of Christ for the early church and the new believers coming along. The example we're going to read this morning is from 1 Corinthians, where Paul is responding to a letter the church in Corinth had established on one of his missionary journeys, and they wrote him a letter saying, things are going a bit wrong, Paul. Like, we're stuffing up a little bit. There's some division in the church. I'm not really sure what to do anymore. They write him a letter, lots of questions, explaining the sin and quarrels, corruption that's happening. And so his 1 Corinthians letter is a response to their concerns. So he starts the letter just dealing with some of their concerns and some of the sin and corruption and the quarrels and division in the church. And then he continues just answering all the questions they have. There's a lot of questions about, maybe not relevant to us anymore, but the Corinthian church was asking a lot about food offerings, celibacy, worship, spiritual gifts, a lot about what it meant that Jesus had died and resurrected again. So if you ever read Corinthians, you'll see a lot of that. And after 10 chapters, which we've put the chapters in, but after a long part of the letter, after Paul's answered all their questions, how to live, we're going to read together just a summary of everything that he has said. It's kind of like, you know, after everything, if you listen to everything I say, just take that one point. This is what he's saying here. This is the one point. He says in verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen? Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. So despite his long letter of instructions, 10 chapters, right? 10 chapters to get to this point. His teaching, his clarification, this is his clear, practical, his one point sermon on how to live as a Christian. So first, if we just go back, first he's saying, everything that you do, these questions, food offering, celibacy, what you eat, what you wear, what you do for a job, like where you send your kids to school, all of these things, whatever you do, just do it all to bring glory to God. In everything that you do, just aim that your life and your positions and anything that you put your hands to, just let it bring glory to God. Simple. First point. Second, he says, whilst you're doing this, just don't offend anyone. The Jews, Gentiles, the church of God. For us, this might be in everything that we do. We just want to have a conduct that has no negative repercussions for the irreligious, the non-Christians, even our fellow Christians in this church or other churches. So everything that we do, everything that we eat, everything that we wear, we want it to have bring glory to God, first of all. And second of all, we don't want it to offend anyone. In Paul's context, he was really telling them, just enjoy your Christian freedoms, enjoy everything that Jesus has done for you and this new life that we can live in, but just don't let it offend everyone. He's saying, be mindful of your conduct, the way you live, basically because now, if you're a Christian, you have to represent Christ. And the ultimate example that we want to be here on this earth is an example of Christ. Amen? So glory to God, our conduct amongst other people. And then if you still don't get it, if you still don't know what to eat or what to wear or what to drink or where to send your kids to school, Paul just says to the Corinthian church, you know what, just do what I do. Just imitate me. Just wear the socks that I wear and dress cool on a Sunday because you're the next gen and just wear what I wear, right? Just do what I do, mimic what I'm doing, the way I'm living, what I'm saying, the way I'm praying, the way I'm worshiping. He says, just do what I do. Because Paul was certain and sure that he was following the example of Christ. So in the very same act of pointing people to himself, just do what I do, wear my cool clothes, say what I say, try and do your hair like this. No, don't try and do that. He's saying, do what I do because I'm going to point you to a savior. I'm going to point you to Jesus in everything that I do. You know, Paul knew that the ultimate example, the ultimate person that we want to follow is Jesus. And Christianity, what we know in the gospel is Christianity is the only religion where our God came down onto our earth, endured suffering and pain and friendship problems, family issues, concerns about what to do, how to do our hair. Jesus came down and he lived all of that experience. And now he doesn't ask us to endure or do anything that he hasn't already done. You see, Jesus' example is the ultimate example, and he asks us to follow in his footsteps. Just do what I do. Just imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. Our gospel says that we can have salvation when we believe in Jesus, and this opens up a way for us to follow his example, really become one, close with Jesus, in relationship with him, partner with him, and follow in his steps. Is this making sense so far? Great. So the reason that Paul can say, follow me, do what I do, here's my 10 chapters of instruction, but do what I do, is because everything that he was teaching, he was also living for himself. This is what one thing that I want to do if I'm going to preach a little bit more maybe, or when I'm leading my youth group, is that everything that I'm saying, I want to be living. And if I'm not living in that way, what I want is that God will come and convict my heart. Just tell me, maybe you haven't like revealed that to anyone yet. Maybe you're hiding something there, Liv, that maybe you need to open up about. You're not quite living that way yet. And what I want is God to come and tell me and convict my heart just so that I will live in such a way that anything that I say to our young people as we lead the teenagers or in the kids' church or even on this stage right now, I feel like I can preach to lead the next generation because this is something that I want to be living in. This is something that I am living in, right? So Paul was saying, listen to all my teachings and imitate me because I'm living in this way. I'll give you some more examples. Let's say I go to the gym. I'm super fit. Do I look fit? I go to the gym sometimes. And when I get there, I'm instructed to do 20 push-ups. What did we do yesterday? Run a lap around the block, do burpees, hold a weight plate above my head and walk down the driveway. Right, I'm instructed to do all of these things at the gym. And then let's say my gym instructor was Simon. Simone, give us a wave. Yeah, I go to their gym. Let's say they're just standing there yelling the instructions and they have a big cheeseburger, some fries, they're just smacking down a Macca's meal, right? They're teaching me how to live a healthy lifestyle, but what are they doing? Are they living it? They don't do that, just by the way. Let's say our kids are using technology and we tell them to get off our technology, but yet maybe my phone time, my screen time is upwards of 6 to 8 to 10 to 12 hours. Right? I'm not living the example that I'm asking of kids. And same goes with the church, and this is what Paul was saying. If we want our young people, if we want new Christians to be able to come into this place and worship freely before God, serve on our teams and be a part of our church community, learn to pray for people when they're sick, how are they going to do it unless they see us doing it first? Unless we as a collective community are setting an example, the life that we lead is the path that they will heed. Amen? Let me give you just an image, another example of what this might look like. Just imagine with me, okay? I need you to all turn on your creative thinking. So me as an 18-year-old, I was getting over that hurdle. It was messy, me trying to find and follow Jesus for the first time as an adult. And I look to the example of Caleb. Many of you know I had the pleasure of living with their family for 5 years when I started coming into the church before I got married, and I did move out, I promise. But I had a great example before me of someone who was imitating Christ. Is that right? We believe Caleb is a man of God. Yes, yes, he's on the stage this morning. I had a great example of someone who was imitating Christ. So I could look up to him. And like I said, I had the pleasure of just being a bit closer with him and his family. So I could look up to him because I knew he was imitating Christ. Is this what Paul is saying? Makes sense? Where's Aurora? Come up here for me. Give a round of applause. Just help me demonstrate this for anyone who's not creative-minded. So me, did you guys get this? Me following Caleb, imitating Caleb, because he's following Jesus. At some point in my life, I had to kind of get over that hurdle and through the mess and find a way for myself to imitate Christ, right? Follow his example, the ultimate example, and follow in his footsteps. So now there's like a transfer of imitation. So all of a sudden, I'm able to follow Christ. I still look to Caleb for support and guidance and we'll catch up about ministry and things like that. But I'm able to look to Christ directly. And so I'm able to say to someone like Aurora, like our teenagers, our young people in the church, you know what, like as you're learning like how to have good friendships and, you know, you want to like pray for people and like come to Sydney and worship and, you know, I can't help you with your math, sweetheart. But if you want to learn how to follow Christ, you just imitate me. You just do what I do because I've learned for myself to imitate Christ. And in everything that I'm doing, I'm trying to follow Christ. So if you just imitate me, like I'll help you pray for people and worship. And one day, the transfer is going to happen again. So you're going to come here. And Aurora is going to be in the position, this is our Generation Z, Alpha, Beta. She's going to be in the position where she can say to someone, you know, it's probably going to be my kid, my son or daughter. And she'll be able to say to them, you know what, I've gotten over my hurdle. You know, I pray you get over your hurdle and you follow Jesus as an adult. And she'll say, you know, you guys just follow what I do. Just do what I do because I'm following Jesus. Right? Amen? This transfer continues down the generations. And our ability to imitate the ones that are before us, every adult in this room is an example for our young people. Whether you want to be or not, I promise you, I guarantee you that they look at what you do, they look at what you're modeling for them, they see what to do, they look for excuses on what not to do, how they might be able to get away with things. They're watching you in a non-freaky way. They're looking at you as an example of Christ, right? And in everything we want to do here, we want to lead a life, live a life that our young people can heed, a path that they can follow, a way over that hurdle so that Aurora can stand in this position and say to my kids, other people in my generation, our kids, the kids that are yet to come, the couples, the families that are still being formed, the kids that aren't here yet, right? She can say to them, just follow what I do, because I'm doing everything I can to follow Jesus. You can sit down for me. Thank you. I think this is a powerful image of us leading the next generation. And like I said, maybe whether you like it or not, your actions will speak louder than your words. You set an example for our young people, for new people, visitors that come in the door. The tone that we have here in our church culture is a tone that will be continued down the transfer pathway. Okay? Amen? So let me just finish even. What exactly are they following? What example are we asking our young people? What are we setting for our young people? What are we doing that they're looking at? Well, Paul is writing in another letter to a younger church leader, Timothy, who's his protege, if you like. And he says to him, 1 Timothy 4, he says, teach these things. Four chapters of Timothy so far, teach these things and insist that everyone learns them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young, but be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. So we see the transfer. Paul would have said to Timothy at one point, just follow me, imitate me. I'm imitating Christ, right? And then all of a sudden, he's saying, Timothy, you are now in the position, like Aurora, you can now be an example to all the believers coming behind. This is what he's saying in this letter here. And if you're questioning, what am I exemplifying exactly? What are they watching exactly? What are they mimicking? What do I have to be aware of, mindful of? Well, he says, be aware of what you say, the way you live, your faith, your love, and your purity. Okay, so if you're going to make any adjustment this year, I want to adjust how I live so I can better be an example for these young people, if they're watching me anyway, what am I going to adjust? What am I going to do? Well, I want to adjust how I speak, what I say, how I live, my love, my faith, and my purity. And if you want to study these things, I'm not going to go into it, feel free to study this through the week. If you want to make an adjustment and really take on this word to live as an example for our next generation, focus on these five things. Do these five things. I know I mentioned Caleb before, but for me growing up, you might have seen the photo pop up earlier. For me growing up, there was someone else who was a great influence and had a great impact on me as a young person. Her name was Courtney. This photo here, I'm so glad I had a glow up, amen. I was in year six, just about to start my youth days. She was my youth leader. She also taught at the school, the little Christian school that I went to. And I just have so many fond memories of her being a big influence, a big impact in my life as a young person. She would come and chat with me on a Sunday and give me a little high five and encourage me. And she'd take me out for milkshakes and give some special care. Just as my youth leader, she would do that for me. But she was always just a great example of someone who was following God, that I knew if I needed anything. As I got to the hurdle at the end of year 12, she was the first person I called. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know where I'm going with my life. And she was able to pray with me and just help me kind of get back over that hurdle to follow God. And she made such a huge impact that Jack and I invited her to our wedding as well when we got married just about a year and a half ago. And this is the impact that we can have on our young people, that they get over that hurdle as adults, follow Jesus, and we can still be a part of their lives. I guarantee you that if you invest into a young person, there's going to come a point, maybe not when they're 12, maybe not even when they're 18, but there'll come a point where they realize, wow, this person had such an effect on my life. And you'll go back to someone like Courtney Hutton and they'll thank you for it. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you sowed into me. Thank you for that vision that you shared with me. Thank you for praying for me. Our young people will do this, maybe not right now, but as they grow up, they'll see what we've sown. They'll see the example, the way we lived, the wisdom we set out for them, and they'll be able to follow that. Okay, let me finish this morning just with three practical points for you. I want you to go away from this morning, this sermon on leading next generation, and just be able to take something into your life, something that you might be able to continue through this year and beyond for our young people. Is that okay? Great. So I've got it into three E's for you. Woo! First sermon. Woo! Our first one is to encourage the next generation. This is really a call for everyone. You know, one of the biggest dividers between generations is not just our age, but it's actually criticism of the generations that are coming behind. How many times have you heard our young people be called a lazy generation? These young kids are just addicted to their technology. Their attention span is so low these days. Have you heard comments like this? Have you made comments like this? What we believe about our young people in our church is going to affect how we treat them. You know, our teenagers jumped up on stage last week and shared their testimonies. It was a bit messy. But wow, what powerful testimonies they shared. What great experiences they've had of God moving in their lives. You know, Callan stood up, one of our young adults here, he stood up here last week and he said literally like this, he's like, "I don't know you guys, but I love you guys," right? You know what, when Jack says, "Honey, I love you," on the phone to me, you know what I say back? "I love you," most of the time. "I love you." Right, he stood up here and said, "I love you, I don't know you guys, but I love you guys." What an opening that is to give an encouragement to our young people who are opening up their lives and their encounters, their experiences with God, that we can just love them back, encourage them back, affirm them back. This quote here by Carrie Newhoff says, "Young people have always made for a convenient scapegoat for society's ills. And that's because criticizing the next generation is easier than taking responsibility for building the world the next generation has to grow up in." And this is the question this morning. Are you taking responsibility, building a world they can grow up in, being a part of their lives, an example for them, or are you stuck criticizing? Are they the scapegoat for society's ills in your mind? I just wanted to say, I think as a church, we're really great at this. We really value the next generation here. Collectively, our culture is showing our young people that they are worth something to us. And so just take this as an individual call this morning. Are you taking responsibility or are you criticizing? Number two is to engage the next generation. This is really more for parents, any parents here this morning. As Zoe mentioned earlier, this role that we play as youth leaders when we come hang out with your kids on a Friday night and kids' church when they go at the back for only 2 hours. It's only 2 hours a week. 1 week of camp compared to the whole 52 weeks of the year. The role we play is a great supportive role. We want to be a part of what you're doing as a family and the rhythms that you're creating with your kids. And we just want to help that. We just want to give them another influence here. But what we have is minimal time with them. And so I hope at home that they are also, our young people, are learning to follow Jesus. Reading the Bible together, asking and answering questions that they have about God, faith, culture, religion. You know, when our young people get to that hurdle that I've talked about, I promise you that myself as a youth leader and the church pastors, the kids team, we've taken responsibility and we would have done everything that we can to help your young people cross that hurdle into adulthood. And I can't speak as a parent and the challenge of that yet, but as someone who works with teenagers, I just ask that you establish a rhythm for them in the home that allows them to continue following Jesus gives them a space under their own roof at home to continue their faith journey. This is how we can engage the next generation. The third one, last point, is just to embrace the example of the older generations. What we don't see, this is really for our young people in the room, you guys don't get away with this sermon. What we don't often see as young people is all of the years and time and your own experiences, what you've gone through, what you've fought for, what you've put your money into, your time into. Often us younger people, we don't see that all the time. And I'm sorry that we don't see that. But as young people, what's so important is that we don't just form our own little community. And like, we have our great life groups, and that's important. We have our youth group and our kids team, that's important too. But here in this setting on a Sunday morning, there's so many generations in the room. And so what's important for a young person is that you don't just sit here all in a row by yourselves all the time, but as soon as service finishes, we can embrace the older generations as well. Ask parents about their faith journey. Ask about the sermon. Ask what God said to them that morning. Ask them, what is your story? How did you get over that hurdle when you were following Jesus? Did you grow up in the church? Did you just start? Are you a new believer? You hear what I'm saying? Us as young people have a great chance, a great example already set out before us to follow, to get the wisdom, the experiences, to be a part of something a lot bigger than ourselves, probably a lot bigger than we realize right now. The world just gets bigger, right? So I just really pray this year that there's just some unlikely friendships and partnerships really form across our generations, across cultures and all of the different ideas maybe we have, different personalities that we have. And this is a call for our younger people just to reach out to the older generations. Let's form some partnerships. Let's embrace those that have gone before us and are already setting the example. Now, as we finish here this morning, I've actually asked if Lorena and Izzy, you guys want to come up? I've asked if they could just pray for us this morning, just as an example from two different generations, one pre-hurdle, our younger generation, one post-hurdle as an adult following Jesus. Just that they'll really pray as a representative of their generation. So just look at them and see where you fit a bit better with which example, which generation. And why don't you just stand as they pray? There's just such an opportunity before us this year to lead the next generation in a way we haven't before. And like I said at the start, it's not for our kids' team or our youth leaders. But this is a call for all of us to set an example, to adjust and live in such a way that we're encouraging, engaging, embracing, joining together as generations. Why don't you guys pray?
Lord, I just want to thank you for bringing us all here today, Lord God. And I just want to thank you for the youth that is coming up, Lord God, this new generation. I just pray, Lord, that you become real in their lives, Lord Jesus, that you move in them, Lord God. It really touched me seeing the youth group, the way that they were moved last week at the camps, Lord God. And I just pray that you will help us as the older generation to support them, Lord God. Open our hearts, soften our hearts, Lord, so that we can be an example to them, Lord God, and also help out, Lord. Help us to be, just take away our selfishness, Lord, our busyness in our life, so that we can volunteer on Friday nights, Lord God, with things that are practical, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord God, that you will help us, Lord, to just give up one Friday night, Lord, to just love on these children, Lord God, that they will feel your love through us, Lord God, through us volunteering for them, Lord God, and serving them, doing things practically like feeding them, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord God, that we can be an example to them, that we can grow closer to them, and that some of these kids don't have a lot of examples in their life. Help us to love on those kids, Lord. And just I pray that that fire that those kids have, you know, it stays through the whole year, and it also just helps us as well, Lord, to grow closer to you. Give us that hunger that Caleb has been praying about, Lord. I pray that all of us, Lord, will get closer to you this year, Lord God. Help us as adults just help us to be still and to listen to your word, and help us to be more like you, Lord, and to love the younger kids, Lord, as well as the whole community, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, let us be able to look up to the older generations and want to be more like them and strive to be just like them, Lord. Let us be able to get over that hurdle, Lord, and impact other people in our lives. Let us be an example for other kids our age that don't believe in him, and let us introduce them to him, Lord, and let us just be an example to them, Lord. Amen.
Lord, right now we just take a moment. Lord, we just take a moment to get our heart right. Lord, any criticism, maybe you've identified that you've been a part of the criticizing group, a part that pushes down and looks down on generations to come. Just take a moment to just give that back. Just repent for that. Lord, help us to see this morning with your eyes. These young people who are passionate, full of energy. Lord, I just lay aside my judgment, my concerns. Lord, we trust you. We trust you this morning for the future of this church, for our young people that are rising up. Lord, we believe this will be a church that is a partnership of generation to generation, a transfer of a great example of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us be that way this year. And I just invite you, just in this moment, just as you pray on your own to God, to just make a commitment about your example this year. Make a commitment to take responsibility for an individual, a person, a collective. Take responsibility, financially contribute. Affirmation, contribute in that way. Pray for them, pray for our young people. And our young people the same, let's pray for our older people. Just make a commitment in your heart right now, just as you pray to God on your own. We just set our sights this year on becoming people that can be mimicked by our younger generation. Lord, that this year you would compel us to sow in more than ever before, to pray for other people, our young people, our older people, more than ever before. Lord, that this year there would be no division between our generations. Lord, this year we would look to you and see the future transference, the future leaders, the future speakers and worship leaders. Lord, we just call them out. Lord, we see a vision for what you have for the future church. And we ask, Lord God, that you would allow us, change our hearts, help us adjust our lifestyles, Lord. Help us let go of our criticism and judgment, that we might be able to see the future of the church continue to rise, continue to be a great model in the world for how to live as a Christian, for how to believe in a Savior. Lord Jesus, we just look to you and commit that we'll follow in your steps in everything that we do this year. Lord, let it not be our own selfish gain. Let it not be our own pride and comforts that stop us. But Lord, we would relinquish all of these things, abandon all of these things, that we might be able to be an example, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.